This is Confessions of a Book Collector. I'm your host, David Headley, and I'll be exploring all aspects of publishing and book collecting, interviewing best-selling and upcoming authors, and sharing insights on inspiring books, both new and old. Welcome back to Confessions of a Book Collector. Today I am joined by Victoria Selman. Victoria is represented by a brilliant agent. That would be me. Hello, Victoria.
Hello, brilliant agent.
Sorry. Well, I want to be honest about these things. I think it's important to be clear, but I do want to talk to you because this podcast is celebrating your upcoming novel, Truly, Darkly, Deeply, and it is truly amazing, and you know that I think it's truly amazing. Because when you pitched it to me originally, I couldn't wait to read it. And then when I read it, I said, I need to represent this book because it is absolutely brilliant. And it really is. Do you want to explain more about Truly, Darkly, Deeply and what it is about, and in your own words, and maybe tell us where that idea came from?
Yeah, sure. The dreaded elevator pitch. Truly, Darkly, Deeply is a story about a serial killer's legacy told through the eyes of his daughter, Sophie, who 20 years after his incarceration still can't be sure whether he's actually guilty. And the book opens with Sophie receiving a letter from the fictional Battlemouth prison saying that Matty, the father, serial killer, is dying and wants to meet.
And that's the opening.
And
it is absolutely gripping. I read it in one sitting and I couldn't believe how clever and devious you are in a good way. And how brilliant Sophie is as a character, her voice, and this is not a book that's celebrating serial killers. This
no,
is absolutely
I felt very, very strongly about that, actually.
A book that celebrates people who are able to come through or to live.
Yeah, I think that's right. We're definitely not celebrating the killer. And like I said, I felt very strongly that that was not what I wanted to do. I wanted to move away from that and look at the victims, but not just the victims themselves, but also the victims in terms of the people who were related to the perpetrator, because of course in many ways they're victims too. And I wanted to explore the ripple effects that crimes like that can commit on the people who are left behind.
And it has done absolutely amazing. Where did the idea come from?
Oh gosh, I hate that question. I think everyone hates that question as much as these dreaded elevator pitches. That's two things in one go. Where did it come from? I'm fascinated by serial killers. I've studied criminology and criminal profiling and criminal psychology. So serial killers is something that I've written about and explored a lot. I had a series actually before Truly, Darkly, Deeply, the Zeke McKenzie series, which focuses in on a profiler. So very much interested in that area. But I think it was then looking away from the investigation side of it, looking away from the perpetrators themselves. And like I said, the people who were left behind, it struck me that very little has been written from the viewpoint of a child. We've seen lots of books, haven't we, from the viewpoint of, inverted commas, the serial killer's wife. But I can't think of anything that's been penned from the viewpoint of a child. And that seemed to me very interesting, so that you'd be looking at a story which wasn't just about... But this book isn't even really about the crimes, it's about the effect of the crimes. But also, as well as being a crime novel, in many ways it's a coming-of-age novel too, in
that
respect.
Yes. And Sophie's such a brilliant character, and obviously you have brought her from Massachusetts to London when she's five with her mother.
Yeah.
And I don't want to give too much away, but it's how they build their life together, and then they meet Matty Melvin.
Yes.
And how he comes into their life, and how much she really admires this man.
Yeah,
and
she
her
loves
mother falls
him.
Absolutely, and her mother loves him too, and then things start to happen. As I say, I don't want to give any spoilers, but it's so brilliantly gripping. Do you want to continue writing books in this area going forward?
In this area, gosh, I mean, my next book that I'm working on at the moment has a similar feel to Truly, Darkly. My editor has this wonderful expression, which is the same in a different colour. So it's a very different story, but it's also told through both the past and the present, as Truly, Darkly, Deeply is. And it has that sort of reflective feel, I think, to it, which I've enjoyed. And the other thing I think that maybe makes the two quite similar is Truly, Darkly, Deeply, the past timeline is set in the 80s when I was actually growing up. So it's been quite fun just to relive that period. And actually, in many ways, the events of the 80s were metaphors for what were happening in the book at the time. So, for example, you see the royal wedding, Charles and Diana, which of course we all know now it was a myth, wasn't it? The fairy tale was a myth. And in the same way, the relationship between, and this isn't a spoiler, it's quite early on, it comes, The relationship between Matty and Sophie's mother is also exposed as a bit of a mythical fairy tale. It's not quite as it seems. So that's been interesting. And the new book, whilst it's not set in the 80s, is also, like I said, it has a past timeline, which is actually set in 2008. So again, I'm sort of hopefully bringing in sort of a cultural feel of the time to sort of give it a certain life.
Yeah. Well, I've read this book, and so I can't wait for that to be published too. But let's go back to Truly Darkly Deeply. There's been film interest, which we can't talk about too much about that.
Very excited.
And we're excited that there are so many countries interested in buying Truly Darkly Deeply too, because it is such a remarkable book. Did you ever expect this of this book? Because this is a completely different type of book, as you say, from your Zebo McKenzie book.
Completely different, isn't it? I don't think you ever expect anything. You hope for things, you have dreams and ambitions, but you can't ever expect. And I think that's probably, every author would say that to you, whatever stage in their career they're at. You never know what's going to come, and the wheel is always turning. So no, I didn't expect, but I'm just utterly thrilled by the way it's been received.
And what's so remarkable too is Quirkus have given you the most beautiful, beautiful cover. It's a black book with a beautiful red rose in the centre, with Truly Darkly Deeply big in big letters in the middle, and it just looks amazing. And that was the first cover that they showed us, wasn't it?
Well,
I mean, we were just blown away.
Well, you and I were having lunch together, and we both opened the email with the attachment at the same time, and our jaws dropped, I think, in sync, didn't they? It was just perfect.
It was so brilliant. And it's their lead title in July, and it's published on the 7th of July?
7th of July, yes.
Which I can't wait for, and I can't wait for people to read it and then start talking about it. And then I can talk to people about it and not worry about giving too many spoilers away. Every time I talk, I'm like, how much can I tell you?
Well, it's hard for me too when you ask me to describe the book.
There are a couple of twists that I didn't see coming, and so I want to talk to people and see if that worked for them too.
Yeah.
Did you always want to be a writer?
Oh my goodness, yes. Did absolutely. You? I was always a big reader, so I can't remember a time as a child where I didn't have my nose in a book. And I think readers want to ultimately be writers, probably, don't they? If you love reading stories, you ultimately want to tell them as well. Certainly that's where it was with me. And I remember I was 7 years old, and we were at school, and we had, gosh, it was amazing. I mean, I look back and think how fortunate we were, but there are a few mothers at the school who were writers. Lottie Mogart, Deborah Mogart. She was the mother of a girl in my class, and they came to talk to us. It was a whole thing about being a writer. And everyone else was just sitting listening, and little swatty 7-year-old me was there with her notebook taking notes. So yes, I always wanted to be a writer.
That's so extraordinary. One classroom has bred two brilliant writers. Lottie Mogart has been published, hasn't
yes,
she?
Yes, she has.
By Picador, and I don't know if there's another publisher now, but anyway. And she did something quite dark with that. Did you read Lottie's book?
I haven't read it yet. I'm looking forward to it, but it had a great title. Was it Kiss Me First or Kill Me First?
Kiss Me First, and it's about the dangers of social media.
That's right,
And it is,
very clever.
Any other people in your class that became writers?
I'm trying to think. Not that I know of. I mean, there's only people I imagine might. I mean, one of my friends was also, she loved reading, she loved writing. So maybe we'll wait and see. It might yet happen.
And you said when you were 7, you were reading. What kind of books were you reading voraciously?
Oh, golly. You know what? The books I was reading are probably the books I then gone on to read with my own children, which is one of the joys for me of having children. So Narnia was a definite favourite series for me. I loved C.S. Lewis. We had a game, again, my friends and I, where we believed in Narnia, and we were trying to get to Narnia. But, you know, the trick of getting to Narnia isn't by trying. So this was all very tricky, to be wanting and trying without them knowing you're wanting and trying.
Going into your mum and dad's
wardrobe. Yeah, I went into wardrobe many times,
I felt the same. I really did want to go to Narnia. I read them when I was a bit older, probably about 9, when I read the Narnia books. But honestly, I haven't forgotten them.
No, some books stay with you.
They place you, don't they? I remember where I lived and where when I was reading them.
Yes.
And I've talked about this on previous podcasts, about how books have influenced me or changed me in some way.
Yeah.
Those books certainly did. And actually, because I wasn't brought up a Catholic, I became a Catholic when I was 11, and those books highly influenced my thoughts. But anyway, really, really wonderful. What other books did you read?
Oh gosh, you're putting me on the spot now, David.
Well, this is what we do here.
Yeah.
Confessions of a Book Collector.
Yeah, I wish you told me in advance. I've actually got a list together. I can see them. There was one I remember what was it? It was a time travel book, and it was brilliant. It was set in the Tudor period and modern day, and she kept flitting into this. Does that ring any bells?
No, what it was. I didn't read those.
That was really good. And later I was reading Sherlock Holmes. So when I was about 11, I was adoring Sherlock Holmes. That was possibly my introduction to crime. And I was given this really fat volume. And like you said, you know, the way you place yourself.
The Sherlock Holmes mysteries.
Yeah, and I remember, so when I think of Sherlock Holmes now, I think of a swimming pool because we were on holiday and I was sitting by the pool reading this book. So yeah, that goes very much hand in hand. What else did I read?
Well, don't punish yourself. I mean, what have you read recently that you absolutely love?
Oh, People of Abandoned Character. You and I were talking about that before we started Claire recording. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed that. And she's another writer who hasn't celebrated the killer. And in fact, her book, like mine, is almost not quite looking at the crime, but looking at the effect the crime's had. Yeah. But unlike mine, it's very much in a historical setting. And it's, I guess the dramatic question, isn't it, is whether the protagonist might actually be married to Jack the Ripper, which is such a brilliant and intriguing premise. I mean, how can you not want to read that book when you... Yeah, that's
Susanna is such a strong character. It was a previous book of the month at Goldsborough, and it is truly a brilliant book. And her next book actually is published in June, and it's called The Gone and the Forgotten, and it is also a brilliant book.
Yeah. I'm looking at your bookshelves, The Empty Room, so Brian McGilloway, that was brilliant. Really, so that's, for people who don't know, it's a story about a woman who wakes up to find her teenage daughter missing, and it's this woman's way of dealing with that loss and trying to find out what happened and ultimately dealing with her own emotions. And it's just it's told in this very simple way that's just so brilliantly done. And I think on my Twitter when I read it, I said it's every person's worst nightmare will have every reader asking what would I have done in her place. And I think that's so great about it. It forces you into her shoes.
It is extraordinary and so viscerally moving and powerful. Yeah,
heartbreaking.
What kind of books do you like to read, collect? Do you collect books?
You're all collectors, aren't we, at heart? So yes, my poor bookshelves, my poor house, my poor husband. I love books. I guess any book that I've enjoyed becomes a book I want to keep and cherish. And I think for me, that's what it's all about. And actually, we were talking on a podcast where you were very, Zubby, you came on and talked about books with me. And we talked about book covers that we loved. And I think one of the reasons I love certain book covers is when I've liked the books themselves, because then the cover means something.
Absolutely. We should just clarify about your podcast, because your podcast is called...
On the Sofa with Victoria. So just in case you don't know who does it, that's my name in there.
And you have been doing that for how many months now?
It's actually coming up to a year now, really? I believe. Yeah.
So if you're a love podcast, go and find Victoria's podcast, On the Sofa. It's published by Crime Time?
Yes, it's part of the Crime Time FM platform.
Yes, it's really brilliant. And we had a conversation this week on your podcast about book covers.
We did.
Which was really enjoyable, actually.
Yeah.
And it was fascinating to talk to somebody, an author and a publisher, about my very... Because, you know, I'm not opinionated at all about book covers. I have lots of opinions about book covers. So it was a really fascinating podcast. And there are lots of, because you have had some amazing people on your podcast.
Yeah, we've been really lucky. So we've had Stu Turton's been on, Dave Fennell's been on, Brian McGilloway's been on. Here I am again looking at your shelves to remind me who's been on. Val McDermott came on the other day, Ian Rankin, Mary Hannah, Jeffrey Deaver. Oh, he was brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, such a what brilliant a treat guy. To have him. David Baldacci came on the other day as well. So that was brilliant. Amazing. I could have recorded and recorded for hours and hours, except it wouldn't have been fair to him. But both so fascinating, and you know, with so much experience and so many stories to tell. I mean, like, you almost just want to, as you know, I'm interviewing them, but I just wanted to sit back and just listen to everything they had to say, and you know, it was just brilliant.
I've read nearly all of David Baldacci's books, and I read Absolute Power, and I thought it was really brilliant. But actually, I still think my favourite book by him is The Winner. Mm. And if you haven't read it, it's absolutely phenomenal. I gave it to my husband recently to read because he hadn't read it, and I think it was one of his mum's favourite David Baldacci books as well. So what have you read that's coming out that you would recommend to readers?
Oh, let's see, I've read the new Cara Hunter.
Oh, yes.
So that was really, really good. And I think what's so brilliant about her, it's not just the story she tells, which is always very clever. She's a very clever writer. But I love the immediacy of her writing. So the way she puts you into the investigation, you know, with all the can't remember what it's called. It's not called real media, is it? When you've got the transcripts, is that what it's called? With the transcripts and the logs and the emails and this and that. So as a reader, you're not just sitting back passively, you're very much engaged. And
you're learning through those medias.
Yeah. And I also read very recently, which I really enjoyed, actually it's just come out, is Those Who Return. So I'm so rubbish with names, I'm going to get this name wrong, but I think it's Cassandra Montag. So this is a Quercus book that my editor was working on. And she sent it to me early, which is always such a pleasure and such a treat being a writer, is to get books before they come out. And that one was...
And the bookseller too, a little bit.
Yes,
books way in advance.
Yes, it's such a privilege, isn't it? And that was really, really good as well. It had to me, it had almost a Thomas Harris feel. I don't know, there's the element of profiling in it, although it's not a profiler novel. But it had, I think it was something to do with the atmosphere. People have likened it to The Drive, but for me it was more Harris. And it had this sort of... the setting was a character in itself, and as such it was just really, really brilliantly done, very brooding and menacing all the way through, without being adrenaline fueled, which actually can be really nice for a change sometimes, I think.
So
I really enjoyed that.
Before we finish, you are going away from your house, you have to leave your house. Which book would you take with you?
David, I have to tell you, when people come on my podcast, I give you notice about world podcasts just before we record. In fact, sir, I think I gave you plenty of So this is
It's
fair.
A one particular book that you, it might not be a first edition, but it's a book that you absolutely adore and you love having it on your bookcase. Has your husband bought you a special book? Has your sons, have they written a book? Are your sons going to be writers?
Actually, they may well be. They both won the Daunt Short Story Competition.
Really?
Actually, they were published before me, as it happened. So, yes, what is this case? I guess it's not a beautiful edition. It's certainly a well-thumbed-through edition. I must have read it many, many times. In fact, there are two books. Silence of the Lambs, Thomas Harris.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, just, I mean, a beautiful cover as well, as it happens. You were talking about covers a minute ago. But I love his writing. It's so brilliant. And I think, I think that one would certainly keep me very well occupied on any journey away from my house. Just brilliant. You can read it so many times and still get new things out of it. And I was also going to say Mindhunter, which is a real favourite of mine. And I'm actually thrilled. I've just interviewed, actually, the author of Mindhunter, who's been really charming and lovely about Truly Darkly Deeply, which I cannot tell you what a thrill that was to have his endorsement. It meant the world.
You've had so many. I mean, Patricia Cornwell has read your book.
I mean, real pinch me quotes, actually. Is this really my book they're talking about? But no, Mindhunter, again, I mean, talking about books that sort of set you on a certain path, for me, Mindhunter was... the book that opened my eyes to profiling, and they coin a phrase which is what plus why equals who, and it's just genius. And as a crime writer, you know, where you can go with that is very exciting.
And did you watch the TV series?
Of course.
That's so great.
Many times.
Yeah, it's so great.
Yeah.
Victoria, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
Congratulations on such a brilliant book. I can't wait to see it published. I can't wait to see people reading it. And more than that, I can't wait to discuss it with people and see if they get the same emotional roller coaster of a ride that I had. It's so brilliant.
Thank you.
Thanks, Victoria.
Subscribe now and follow Goldsborough Books on socials to keep up to date with our latest news and to learn who will be joining me on Confessions of a Book Collector, your new favourite podcast.